Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to The River. This is Tom Fuller coming to you from beautiful Portland, Oregon, with my friends and your hosts, authors Maxine Marcellini and Jeannie St. John Taylor. Every Monday, Maxine and Jeannie get together to share what's on their hearts with listeners around the world. They chat with other authors and friends on a wide variety of topics. Some bring a laugh, some cause us to wipe away a tear, but all of them send rivers of blessing into our lives. These shows can be life-changing if our hearts are open and allow the river of God's love to pour into our deepest needs. So, listeners, are you ready? Now's the perfect time for me to stop talking and let the ladies take us on today's exciting journey down the river.
And hi, listeners. This is Maxine, and I'm here with my delightful co-host.
Wow, I'm Jeannie. That's exciting to be called delightful. I don't really get that very often, Maxine.
Only from me?
Yeah, well, nag, I've heard.
Uh-oh. Oh,
no, not
well,
really.
That
I'm
might
just
make
kidding.
You, that might make you really, you know, a good part of this program today,
then. I think so.
We are going to be talking marriage and maybe going on strike in your marriage. And do you remember years ago, Jeannie, you used to always hear this comment? There's the saying that only her hairdresser knows for sure.
Yes. Yes, well, that's a Clairol commercial, yeah.
I know, but we are blessed today to be speaking with a hairdresser. Sherry Mills has been a hairdresser for more than four decades, and she's had a sympathetic ear to many discussions on relationships in that ear. Her experiences listening to others about rocky romances has led her to write two marriage-related books. Her two books focus on how sharing the chores can help your marriage flourish. Her first one, I Almost Divorced My Husband, But I Went on Strike Instead, is directed to us women and explains how we can influence our spouses and children to be committed to doing housework. You can find that book through Barnes & Noble, Amazon, anywhere you might want to go look. Her newest book is Marriage 101 for Men, Why Taking Out the Trash is a Turn-On. So lots of these topics, Sherry, are really interesting to me. And I got to admit that going on strike sometimes crossed my mind, and I'm sure I tried it, but probably not to the extent that you are speaking of it here. So welcome to our program, Sherry.
Welcome. Welcome.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah. You know, my problem would be going on strike. My house, I always think it just looks terrible and it's a mess. And my husband thinks that it's not messy enough. He thinks that the lived-in look makes it homey, so I don't think it would work for me.
Well, you know what? It wouldn't work for a lot of people because it's the hardest thing I've ever done.
Oh, really?
I mean, to make it work. I mean, that's why I wrote the book, so I could tell people how to handle everything without going on strike.
What made it hard?
We've been doing it all along.
What led you to even come to the conclusion that you needed to go on strike? How did you get so burned out that this was an option?
Well, I was working full-time. My husband was working full-time. I had three kids who were just growing up. They were in just grade school. And I would come home, and my husband was a wonderful, wonderful guy, but he was a super male chauvinist, and he absolutely did nothing around the house. And so I put up with it for a little while. But I got angry, and you know how resentment can do to your body, what it can do. Mm-hmm. And for years and years and years, I let anger and resentment rule my world. Mm-hmm. And I got to the point where I said, you know, is this what I'm going to be doing for the rest of my life? And I said, no way. But you know what? I've tried little strikes before. I had tried not doing anything for a day and telling him, I'm not doing it, you do it yourself. And he was like you. He really didn't care if the house was really clean or anything. But the thing of it is, there's more than just clean house. There's fixing dinner, there's taking care of kids, there's all this other stuff. So what happened was I finally got to the point where I would put in a few extra hours if there was a light at the end of the tunnel. And that's what I did. It took me 3 months to figure out the contract. Because he was a boss at a clothing factory. So he knew about union contracts.
Oh.
And so I kind of went into his world.
Do you have that contract? Do you have that contract in your book?
Yes, it is. And it covers everything. It covers vacations. It covers everything. And because even on vacations, I was the one that would always pack everything, and I'd pack it into the vehicle, then I'd pack, unpack it, then I'd slave while I was up there, and then I'd pack it and come home and unpack it again. And I'm thinking, what kind of vacation is that? And so that was part of it. It was also part of it that women don't make as much money, and so the money part of it was, you know, not to belittle anybody because they make less money than you, which would actually be a man and a woman in case a woman makes more than a man. But it covered everything. And then it had a chore list at the end of the book. And I had a chore list at the end of my contract. And what made me, I mean, it took me about 2 more months to actually, I put away in my beauty shop in my file, and I thought, you know what, I can't do this until I know for positively sure that I won't give up. And it took me 2 months to get to that point.
So how'd you get to that point?
A lot of courage, yeah.
It was something else. I was in the middle of fixing dinner. So I sent my 2 oldest kids to the store to get some ingredients that had to be put into the dinner, and I was right in the middle of it. The store was at the end of the street, and it took them 45 minutes to get home, and they brought the wrong ingredients. Oh. So I get the feeling, and I start to tell them off. I says, you get back. You take this bag back, and go get the right stuff. And my husband came running up the stairs, and he said, if you expect to get the right stuff, then you go do your job yourself.
I'm getting mad.
Okay, now I know I will never give up. He never got to that point before, and it really gave me a really good thing. And one of the things I have to say is that I knew in figuring out the contract and everything, I kind of got a few little things inside my head of knowing what the deal was. And I thought, you know, the only way I can do this is if I do it with love.
Yes,
I couldn't be angry all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So I was angry at that moment, and I told him, not only am I not going to the store, but as of this very second, I am on strike. And he said, oh, and how do you propose to do that?
And you showed him.
Yeah, and I told him, I said, we don't have to discuss it anymore. I said, it's down to the beauty shop in the file such and such. And I said, and all the explanations are in another file. And I said, we do not have to discuss it until it's over.
Ooh.
And so he I think it was because he was so curious that he went down the shop, and he was gone forever. I was.
Oh, you let him read it. Oh.
Yeah.
You sent him even to find it.
Hmm. Oh, yeah. I told him where to find it. And so he read the contract. And I don't know whether he read it all, but he knew I meant business. And so when he came back, I expected him to just rant and rave and not do anything. And I just figured the house would be a mess. You know what he did is he decided to show me that he could do it better than I could, that I was just complaining about nothing. And so... So he fixed a really nice dinner and had dessert, cleaned up my kitchen. And then my little girl came in and said, Mom, Dad said to come and eat. And I tell you, after I ate that dinner, I wanted to go up and give him a big hug and kiss and say, oh, you're so sweet. And I thought, I can't do it. I can't give in until he signs the contract. And so I said right in the book that it was like walking with cement in my shoes from the table into chair where I sat for the whole time. I would go to work and then I'd come home and sit there.
So what was in the contract? What kind of elements did you include in this contract that made you know you couldn't go there and just say, wow, I really like that, and give him a big kiss?
Well, it said in the contract that he had to sign the contract, that he had to, this was a contract that he had to read, he had to sign, he had to, you know, and he knew that. He knew at that point, because I'm the type of person that I can stick to something, and he knew that. But I just, and the best way he could get through to me is, because he was a sugary person, boy, he could just, you know, he could charm the feathers right off the chicken. I'm telling you, he was a charmer, and I just... He knew he could get to me that way, and so that's what I had to fight more than anything, is him trying to get to me that way. And I just didn't get mad at him. I just talked really nicely and everything. The children were mad at me the whole time. They were so ticked.
I bet that was hard.
It was really hard. I lost 10 pounds in 8 days.
Oh, I think I'll go on strike.
But anyway, what I did, the second day, he came home, And, well, I waited to see what he would do the next day, and he got kids out and got them ready for school and got everything all done, and then he went to work and he came home. But when he came home, he walked in my room and he said, "If you think that you're going to make me do all this stuff, you're crazy." And he ranted and raved, and he was madder than I'd ever seen for a long time. And
oh.
I listened to him, and I thought, and I waited till he was through, and I said, "Okay, now are you through?" And he said, "Yes." And I said, "Okay, I want you to know something, Gerald." I said, "You are worth keeping. And I worked on this thing for 3 months, and I want you to know right now that I will never give up. It was too much work, and you mean too much to me, and you're a good dad to these kids. I don't want to lose you, but I will never give up." And I said, "The very next thing I plan on doing is marching, getting some signs and marching up and down this tree." And I wouldn't have wanted to do it, and I actually probably would have, and he knew it. And so he just didn't say anything for the next 3 days. Then he wanted to sign the contract. And I felt bad about that because I said, "Gerald, you have to read the contract first. Then you have to let me know you know what's in it. And then you have a meeting with your children, and then we'll negotiate, and not until." And so he didn't. And then he waited it was 8 days, and he finally said, "Jerry, bring the kids here. When they get home from school, tell them to wait for me to get home." And I said, "Are you sure?" And he said, "Yes, I'm sure." And I said, "I bet you're exhausted." And he said, "I am, but it makes me so sick that I've been putting you through this all along."
Oh, my land.
That was good. That was good.
Yeah, just, and the very first thing he did, the very next morning, one of my kids were walking up the stairs, and they, "Mom, where's my blue shirt?" And boy, he went right to the stairs, put his finger in his nose, and he said, "Your mother has 5 people to take care of. Now you go find your own shirt." And I just about cried. I almost cried, and just, I thought that was the newest thing. And then when we go on vacations, when we go camping or anything, from that day on, we'd get in the car, and or else before we went, he'd say, "Okay, who's going to bring this? Who's going to bring this? You bring this, you bring this." And then he'd get in the car, we'd go to there, and he would be the chief cook and bar washer the whole time and let me rest. And then he would, on the way home, he would say to the kids, "Okay, now we got this to do. We can't, none of us can stop until everything's brought in and put right away. Who's going to bring this?" And he was just so good. I couldn't believe it. But it was because, you know, I said in the book, he didn't just be a little wimp, you know, and give in. He actually lived my life for 8 days and just came to this shocking conclusion that he had been doing this to me without even knowing it.
And that's part of the whole thing, isn't it, Sherry, that sometimes they just don't know. It's not that they're trying. They look at their world as they're out working, bringing in money, and, you know, doing good things in other ways, but they don't see what's going on at home. And you use a story in the book about, is it a Bill and a Helen? And the communication she hadn't told him?
All those years?
Yeah, he didn't know what was happening, and then she filed for divorce. But he didn't know why.
Exactly. Yep. I think I can't remember whose names I used because I always used different names. I didn't.
Yeah, I get that.
So I keep forgetting whose names is what because I didn't use anybody's real name. So I'm thinking, I don't know which one it was, but I know that the first story that I put in there, the husband was the happiest thing in the world. He would have the happiest marriage you could ever wish to have, and he was so shocked that she wasn't happy, and she had been telling me for years that she wasn't happy, and all about how she did everything, and he always made her do everything, but she never told him. But you know whose fault it is? It's society's fault.
Her.
We have never, ever evolved in that area. It's not only men that believe that. It's women, too.
Yeah.
Women actually believe that it's their responsibility to take care of everything in the house and whatever goes on there.
Yeah.
Well, I agree a lot of times, but I've seen that shift in my own kids' marriages. So a lot of their husbands and wives, there seems to be more help and more male involvement in the homes with my children.
And there is.
Yeah.
And that's what's happening now is there's help, but the only thing is then the responsibility still lays on the woman. And so that's why I say the help is a four-letter word. And so I have, in fact, I've had even men that say, "Oh, my word, what a plan." Because when a man takes responsibilities for certain things, he becomes the boss again. He doesn't become a follower or rounder and helping this mommy do everything. You know, he becomes the man again. And he just does what he's supposed to do. She keeps out of his way and doesn't tell him how to do it. And I was talking to this one lady, and she says, "Well, I can't let him do it his way. He won't do it good enough." And I said, "You got corners somewhere." He can iron. He can take care of the kids. He can get the kids up and ready for school. I said, find a corner that's invisible, or else let him pick something that you can leave him alone, because he's got to do it his way or it will never work. It will never work.
Can you give us some specifics from the contract? I mean, like 1, 2, 3 kind of things?
Let me see. I think I've got my book here that has the contract. But I covered it was so professional. It's just it kind of like
surprised you, huh?
Well, no, it just had it was in professional speak, so it's not like this.
Oh.
It starts out with let me see. It's responsibilities are housekeeping, shopping, cooking, laundry, nursing, chauffeuring, social security, managing children's affairs, record keeping, and it said it has classifications, and it has responsibilities to be done or delegated by the female householder full-time, and the one that isn't, that works full-time, is different. You know, it's a different thing for the one that works full-time.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah. That's why I had to cover everybody, because I thought when I wrote this book, this has to be for the whole world. It can't just be for me. And again, people like me, it's got to cover everything. So then it has this coverage of compensations, and it says compensation for female householder at home full-time, weekly allowance for personal use, and integrate housework among all householders taking male householders full-time job restrictions into consideration. And then compensation for female householders, and then it says preservation of health and safety rights. A female householder will alternate obligations of being on call 24 hours a day, 365 days a year with male householder. And so then it has personal and sick leave. When female householder is ill, all her duties will be taken over completely by other householders until female householder recuperates. All duties will be performed so a female householder does not have to do double duty when she recuperates. And then I've got number 5, holidays and vacations. All holidays should be enjoyed for the enjoyment of all householders, with preparations and cleanups shared by all householders. And then discrimination. No person shall be discriminated against on basis of wages. No person shall be coerced into a job unsuitable for his or her skills, because I had some clients that had that problem. And no person shall be put down as you're just a housewife or what do you do all day or anything like that. And then settlements of disputes. I've got a lot of people who don't dare voice their opinion, and so I say you can either have it with, you know, orally, or you can write it down. You can write your disputes down so they can read them. And so it just covered, it actually covered every single thing. And then it had, and then as it had the laundry and all this kind of stuff, it has everything from making it have the kids brush their teeth, all these things at the end of the book. And there's one guy that was sitting in my chair, and he said, and I said, why don't you go to the back of the book and pick 5 responsibilities that you could do for the rest of your life? And he says, for the rest of my life? And I said, well, she's got 75 that she has to do for the rest of her life, and you both work. And he just about died. And so he went home. He went home and picked some things that he could do that he could do for the rest of his life, and he picked more than 5. And I said, if you let them pick, it really works. I think that it was so hard for me to go on strike that I wouldn't even want, I would want somebody just to learn these things, you know. And I would say, if you show your husband these chores at the end of the book and say, this is what I have to do every single day. Some of them only take 5 minutes, some take 3 minutes, some take a half hour, but all of them add up to the mundane, invisible job that I have every day.
Okay. So, Sherry, you've got a chapter that says the wrong way to strike. What's the wrong way to strike?
That's the one that I used to do all the time, to start before you plan it. And this one lady, she was so excited to strike, I wouldn't even give her the contract until I talked to her. I actually had her come to my salon so that I could get through it. And it actually helped for about a week. At least he knew then what she was going through, but it went right back to normal within probably about 2 or 3 weeks, because she just, it was like my little strikes, you know. And that's something that I have in the back, because if somebody does have to go on strike, and I always say that if you're going to walk out the door, go on strike. Other than that, don't, you just read my book and it'll tell you what to do. But
yeah, rather than running for a divorce, let's give this a try, because most marriages can probably be saved if they get the communication lines back open and they start appreciating what each other are doing.
Exactly. And once they have the contract and all the chores and everything, and then you'd have, I tell them to read the whole book to know how to react, because first of all, they have to get rid of the resentment.
That's
they have
good.
To get rid of the resentment. And then then it's a lot easier.
Do you have ideas what to do, a grievance procedure to follow?
What would you mean by grievance?
Like, in other words, what if your husband gets mad and says, you know, that's not fair, or you do the same? What kind of procedure would you follow?
Oh, one of the things that I told him that I would do is, if this doesn't work, the next thing I'll do is I will leave you here with the kids, and then I'll just go to my mom's for a little while. If that doesn't work, then that's what I told him, I'd go up and down the street. And I told him I won't ever let it.
She's going out with the sign.
Exactly. And when I told him that, he knew he didn't want that to happen. And so, and I knew he knew that, and so that's why I was really brave enough to say it. But I thought, boy, now that I've said it, I have to go through with it if it happens. So actually, what you have to do is you have to come up with a backup plan and another backup plan, because, you know, when it comes right down to it, they need you.
Yeah.
Some people will say, oh, my husband would just leave me. I said, no, they won't. They want their kids. They want their, you know.
Yeah.
And one of the big things is women sometimes don't stand their ground long enough to make the tough love work. That's what I found, that they will cave in and, like you say, do the little short-term kind of things, and then it gets back to business as usual, and the cycle repeats and the cycle repeats until you're serious enough to follow through with a real love, as you say, doing it with love and calling it. It has to be a tough love approach, otherwise it won't be respected.
Yeah.
That's the truth. Now, another thing I always say is that if you start it and then stop it, what they'll do from then on is they'll say, oh, I'll just wait her out. She'll stop in a minute. She'll stop in another day.
Exactly.
And everything will be fine again.
Yeah, that's good. That's good.
Yeah, and you've got to be able to hold up under that emotional pressure. Sherry, this is a good point. We only have a few minutes more left, but I want to segue at this point into your second book of the Marriage 101 for Men and Why Taking Out the Trash is a Turn-On. Because I think this is the perfect point to realize that we're working on the marriage. And what is it that men don't instinctively know?
They don't instinctively know anything.
Okay, let's get that cleared up a little bit here, because they're not dummies, so what don't they know?
I mean, about a woman. You know, they don't instinctively know that they're supposed to follow, you know, that's why I say help. They don't know even what help means. Does that mean help you with the dishes, or help you bring the groceries in, or just follow you around and help you with everything, or something in between? They don't know that. They just think you're a nag. They just think, oh, my word, she can't do her job. What's the matter with her? And so what I tell them is that this is something that they can get some really, really good at. If you want your wife to be happy, which most men do, this is what you do. And I take them through it so lovingly and so carefully and so specifically about what to do, and to be aware that your wife is hardwired to think that she has to do it herself. She's hardwired to do that. So you have to let her tell her, you know, I'm going to do this, and you've got to let me do this. You know, you've got to. And what I did is I got a hold of a psychologist in San Francisco, because I don't think anybody would believe that a woman would know all this stuff. So I had him, his words are the first chapter. So that, and then I said, and this is from a man, just in case you don't want to believe me, and then I go from there. But what it says in there, that they get more sex, they get more everything. I can remember when I went on strike, and when I was really angry, oh, my word, I would always, women will say, you think that I'm going to be working all day long and do this and this and this and this and be so exhausted, and then you think I'm going to go to bed with you? And after our strike, we had the best sex life that you can possibly even imagine. Because when you start being respected, and that's what I put out in the new book, I explain it very, very tediously. I let them know that the respect, that is called respect when you do that.
Yeah.
When you are involved of what you want to do. And not only that, but it puts him in the driver's seat. It lets you be the boss again. It lets you be, if you want to be the head of your family, that's how you be the head of your family. You know, you do your job, and she doesn't ever have to get to say how it's done. You do it however you want to do it.
You know, I can see one potential problem here for women. Tell me if you address this. You mentioned the fact that your husband thought he could do it better than you, and I think most
yes.
men do. What do you do if it happens that a man starts to do these things for his wife and then he begins to gloat and taunt that he's better at it than she was?
You know what you do? You let
what?
Him gloat and taunt, because I'll tell you something. Mm-hmm. What I do, Gerald would actually spend 2 hours on the sink and just say, now this is the way it's supposed to be done. And I say, oh, my
yeah.
God, that looks beautiful. You have to be able to take that.
Oh, good.
You have to be able to let him gloat, because now he's doing all this stuff.
Yeah.
And in order to, you know, and it's hard to do. It's hard to not say, you know, I've been doing this all, I know what to do. But no, let him do it. Let him do it and let him gloat. Let him say he's doing it better than you do and kind of chuckle under your breath and walk out in the other room. Because that's what really makes it work. Because I have that happen to me all the time. My husband is, I mean, he doesn't very, very time verbally tell me that. But sometimes I just beat him to the punch and tell him that. Even sometimes when I don't believe it.
Mm-hmm.
I say, oh, my word, you do a lot better than I do. You're the best cook in the world. I've never, ever seen a better cook than you. And I just, you know, that's the thing that is makes it work, too, is if you can let him do those things. If you can let him say he does it better than you, because you know what? It's worth it. It's worth
and
it.
And men kind of feed on praise. They love to be praised for something.
Yeah.
And they want to know that their wife is admiring them. So if we can combine those things, as Sherry is saying, along with
yep.
getting the helps that we want, don't look at it as competition. One of the things I try to encourage husbands and wives is that you're not competing against one another. You're to complement one another in the work and the marriage that you have. And so if you can figure out little ways of words of praise and things to do that, you're going miles and miles in the right direction. And, Sherry, we really are starting to run out of time. How can people get a hold of you, and what else would you like to leave our listeners with this afternoon?
Well, they can actually email me, because I would love to get emails from people with questions at share, S-H-E-R, at emrytelcom.net. And then if they want
would
my book.
Would you spell that out, because I don't think people are going to get that.
Okay, it's S-H-E-R. At emrytelcom.net. N-E-T.
Thank you.
Can they find you on Facebook?
Yes, I'm on Facebook. I'm on Facebook. Yes, they can find me on Facebook. They can friend me on Facebook. And they can get my book at Barnes & Noble or anywhere on the Internet. If they go to Sherry Mills, author on the Internet, it'll take them to a lot of things about me on there. It'll tell them exactly where to get the book. So if they forget the name of the book, that's what they can do. Sherry Mills, author. And that'll take them wherever they want to go.
Thank you.
Sherry, it's been a real delight having you with us
it
today.
Has.
And I've got to say, you are adding a lot of encouragement to many, many marriages out there. And I thank you for being in that hairdresser shop, listening to the stories that are now going to help couple after
researching.
Couple after couple and prevent families from divorcing. I honestly believe
yeah.
that, because listeners, don't give up on your marriage. Give this a try. And if it's a husband who's listening today, you give it a try, because sometimes the men really are the ones doing their lion's share of the work at home too. And maybe it's the wife that needs to pick up and catch on. So either
yeah.
way this goes, start communicating and allowing your spouse to really understand the problems going on and how life can be better when you both start seeing help as a good four-letter word. God bless you, and thank you for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me.
This is Tom Fuller saying thank you for joining us on The River today. I pray blessings have come your way. Please check out our hosts' websites to learn a little more about them. Maxine Marcellini is the author of Rebuilding Families $1 at a Time, Blended Families, and raising children in blended families. She's a life coach whose website, rebuildingfamilies.net, is full of family helps and resources. Jeannie St. John Taylor is the author and illustrator of more than 25 books for adults as well as children. You'll find her books plus a link to read her newest biblical fiction, City of a Thousand Gods, on her website at jeanniestjohntaylor.com. All our programs are archived for later listening enjoyment. Consider posting a comment after today's show. And please let your friends know about what's happening at the river. Most of all, remember, you are never alone in this river called life. Jesus is with you and only a prayer away.